1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. We'll think about some verses that Paul has given to the church in Corinth that are applicable to all of us this morning. Beginning with verse 12, 1 Corinthians 2. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, continuing to the next verse in chapter 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Well, these were brethren Paul was speaking to. This was the church, the Lord's church in Corinth, for better or for worse, and a lot of it was for worse and not for better. And he speaks to them clearly about a need that they had as a church, which is parallel to the need that the church will always have. Getting our thinking correct. How we see ourselves. Do we see ourselves as God sees us? He couldn't speak to them, verse 1, chapter 3, as unto spiritual. I want God to be able to speak to me as a spiritual person. When others stand in this pulpit or stand in the head of the classroom and I open my Bible to follow their teaching, I want Him to be able to say spiritual things to me that have spiritual meanings to me. He said, I'm going to have to talk to you about carnal things. That just means how the world thinks. I'm going to have to talk to you about the church in the vernacular of the world. And that was going to be a difficult thing to do because the church is separate from the world. Spirituality. Five times that we read in the verses before us this morning, five times the word spiritual is used. And the challenge in each of the instances in which it is used is to be that kind of person. Not to be a person that's possessed of the spirit of the world, he said in verse 12, but of the Spirit of God. But to not be a person which uses men's words, he says in verse 13, but the word that the Holy Spirit teaches, spiritual kinds of words, and compare spiritual things with spiritual. Not the natural man kind of stuff, but the spiritual man kind of stuff, he says in verse 15. Certainly not the carnal mind in chapter 3 and verse 1, but the spiritual mind. Who really is spiritual? That's a biblical kind of consideration. Have you ever met a truly spiritual person? If you answer that other than yes, then you're not looking around very carefully. Yes, you've met lots of them. You come here to this church, and this church is full of people who are spiritual people. But how does one define spirituality? What does that mean? What does that look like if a person is a spiritual kind of person? We speak about the things that we do when we come together here in this place, as we are this morning, that we are involved in spiritual activities. Well, the physical activities are here, obviously, or we wouldn't even be able to get here this morning, but deeper than the physical, there is the spiritual activity that engages us. What does that activity look like? Donna showed me a thing last week that a church service that was very interesting. From a guy who's not had much experience with anything other than Dayton Church of Christ. But it was a church, it was a service on Facebook I'm confident it was, even though the church wasn't named, a Pentecostal group, that, and all of us have good, strong Pentecostal friends. But it was interesting that when it opened up, it showed a guy up here in a church building, much like this one, except it had a center aisle. And with a baptistry, looked just like this back behind, and a pulpit looked like this one, and the guy was singing a song in a microphone. Up here behind the pulpit, the guy standing right here beside him had a guitar and was playing along with the song that the guy was singing. And the people in the pews were all standing, and some were clapping, and others kind of waving their arms about and doing those kinds of things. And so they were involved in their service to God. It was a clip out of their worship service. When all of a sudden, as the guy was singing, there was this guy that started down the aisle. He had a suit on. He stepped out from one of the pews, and he ran down the aisle. In 40-something years of preaching, none of y'all have ever run toward me. It would scare the daylights out of me if you did that. But it didn't bother the guy up there singing. I mean, he was just singing, you know, and having a good time. So the guy sprinted up the aisle, and he was waving his arms, you know, and he was shouting. You couldn't understand what they were saying, but he was shouting. And he ran up behind the steps and behind the pulpit where the preacher, the singer was, and down the other side and back down the aisle. And another one jumped out and did the same thing. Now, one trip around wasn't enough. The first one out kept on going. The second one kept going. And so they had this... It looked like they were racing each other up and down the aisles. They were having a good time. One of them eventually, when he came up, I don't know how many times he'd been up there, but when he came up, he did a somersault back here behind the guy that was preaching. Not was preaching, he was singing. Another guy came up a little bit later in his running, and instead of, you know, the joy that was his was just unable to contain, and so he stopped at the baptistry that had the glass front like this one does and climbed over the baptistry and into the baptistry and began splashing around and shouting. A guy was running down the aisle, and he took his jacket off, his suit coat off, and started swinging it around his head like a lariat and threw it toward the front and landed on the singer's head. Singer kept on singing. You couldn't see him. He was underneath the guy's jacket. But he kept on singing. Now, if you and I were to ask those people after church, how are things at church today? They would respond, I am confident, very positively, that there was a great moving of the Holy Spirit, and they were all spiritually involved in those activities that were around them that particular day. What does spirituality look like? If that's what it is, if in regard to public worship, then we are obviously not very spiritual people. What exactly is it? Now, Paul addressed those kinds of things later on in this book in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians that you've studied before. And know that he was talking about a church that didn't understand always what it meant to be spiritual and how it looked to be a spiritual people responding in worship to God in a spiritual way. So he said over many instances in the 14th chapter, just a sample, verse 26 of chapter 14, he said, you know, let everything that you do, guys, when you come together, he said, let everything that you do be edifying to each other. Be teaching and encouraging each other, he said. He said in verse 31, for all may prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, so that what goes on is to be a source of learning and a source of comfort for those that are assembled together. In verse 33, he said, it needs to be peaceful, not confusing kinds of things. In verse 23, he said, be conscious of others among you that may not believe as you believe, because he said, what will those unbelievers think when they come among you? Will they not say you are mad in the way they were conducting their assembly? You know, I read my Bible and I look at, and I'm not here to demean what we saw on that tape or that video. But I look for samples or examples of that in the Scripture where spirituality would be capable of being judged by that kind of activity. And I never once see Jesus responding like that. I mean, if he did, there's no record of it. Now, Peter and the others that were baptized with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, in their response, stood up and they taught. I know there were cloven tongues of fire, a miraculous evidence of their presence, but they taught as a result of the spiritual activity that was going on there. Daniel and Moses and Elijah and the Apostle John, the Apostle James, and you just don't see that kind of stuff back in your New Testament or in mine. How do we judge? What is the criteria we use to determine whether or not what I call spirituality for me is indeed spirituality and not just something else masquerading as spirituality? Who's a spiritual person? Some of y'all attend church about 150 times a year. More than that, really. Others of you, less than that. Some of you, quite a bit less than that. Is the one who is attending 150 some odd services a year more spiritual than the one who only attends 49 or 52? Or I've been in audiences preaching before and have said some things, and somebody in the audience would respond, "Amen." The others on the pew with him didn't. And nobody in front of him did, and nobody behind him did, because traditionally, you know, that's not much of our custom in the churches of Christ. But is that guy that responded to my preaching, very positive response, you know, is he more spiritual than the others that were sitting around him who did not respond that way? I've shared news with people from time to time outside of this church and other places that when I tell them something good that has occurred, they'd say, "Well, praise God." I've told the same news to other people who didn't say anything like that. They just said, "Well, that's a good thing, isn't it?" And I'd say, "Yeah, it was a good thing." Is the person who responds to normal statements during the course of a day's activity with praise God more spiritual than the one who does not? How do we gauge spirituality? There are some people that don't have televisions in their homes. I respect that. The same ones may often don't have radios or any kind of music kinds of stuff like that. There are entire religious groups of people in America today that are very conscientious of that. They don't use any electricity in their home, any kind of modern convenience, transportation or otherwise. They dress in very plain clothing because it's their intent not to draw attention to themselves. Their judgment of spirituality pertains to how they dress, that they need to be very plain in their dress and very plain in their lifestyle. And so they reflect that in the way they live their lives. And by doing that, they draw a whole lot of attention to themselves, more so than if they had a television or drove a car or used electricity. What criteria do we use in determining spirituality? Well, let me share a couple of things with you today, three or four. In our search for an answer to that, it should come as no surprise, I'm confident that it doesn't, that I'll start with chapter 14, verse 37, of 1 Corinthians. Same book, written to the same people, when he's talking about what spirituality means, he says this in verse 37, 1 Corinthians 14, "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual," I think I'm spiritual, I'm certainly not a prophet, "let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." So at his foundational basis, this thing of spirituality is directly related to how I relate to the Word of God. Do I acknowledge that the things that I read in here are not just good wishes from the Lord, but that His Word is indeed His Word? Do I recognize the authoritative nature of His Word? That when He bids me go, I'm to go. That when He says, "Larry, stop," that I'm to stop. If a man is spiritual, then he will respect what God's Word says. And our activities as a church, our activities individually and our lifestyles, will reflect the fact that we respect the Word of God. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in a very familiar passage of Scripture, said that all Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. There are a lot of folks that don't believe that about the Bible. And I'm not just talking about those that are active atheists or agnostics, you know, not just that segment of our society, but many who are highly religious people, and who would be regarded by many other folks as being very spiritual. They teach in some of our larger schools of learning and theology and things along this line. But they teach without a basic respect for Scripture. So that when it comes to addressing the issues of miracles in the Bible, they are skeptical. They explain those things away by natural phenomena or occurrence. There wasn't any Noah with a great flood. There wasn't any Jonah with a great fish. These are stories, these are allegories that represent deeper spiritual truths, stories that were popular among the people at that time, that were recorded among other cultures similar to that. Spirituality, if it is spirituality, rests upon Scripture. God must define for us what it means to be spiritual. Not my experience, but His revelation of what that means. Who is a spiritual person? John chapter 3. You recall the conversation in John 3 with Nicodemus when Jesus spoke to him about this thing called being born again. Verse 5, John 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." One born of the Spirit is spiritual. One born of the flesh, Jesus said, is fleshly. But so there must be that thing in our background. If I am a spiritual person, then somewhere back there, in my experience, there is that thing called being born again. We debate what that might mean. And believe it or not, it's not I who define it, nor is it you, nor any people like us. It is God in His Word who tells us about what that experience is, what constitutes that, what goes into making up this new birth in the conversation He had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And it's played out in the commission that Jesus gave just before His ascension in Mark 16 when He said, "I want you guys to go all over the world and I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized, He said, shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." Being born again in the kingdom of God is equivalent to being saved before God. It is added to His family by this new birth experience. Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 stood up with the rest of them and they declared a unified message to people who said to them, because they had crucified the Lord of glory, they said to them, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, water and spirit." Who is a spiritual person? One who has been born again. I may be religious. I may believe some things that are entirely accurate and true. But if I have not been born again, I am yet to become a spiritual person. Who is a spiritual person? Romans 8:14, Paul said, you know, here's a spiritual person. It's one that is led by the Spirit. As many as of you as are led by the Spirit, you are the sons of God. A spiritual person has a spiritual leading. Led by the Spirit. What's that mean? Well, that means that wherever the Spirit goes, I follow. I mean, leading and following, we understand leading and following. We understand that from a very early age. And so if the Spirit is leading, then I'm the follower. So wherever He leads, I am to follow. Well, we can't see Him. I can follow you out of this building because I can see you, but I can't see the Holy Spirit. How can I follow Him? Well, He'll tell you how. He'll show you in Scripture what it means to be led by Him, to follow Him. I understand that some of my friends believe that being led by the Spirit means that He controls every decision that I make. He doesn't. Nor does He control every decision that you make. We continue to make our own decisions. But He tells us what it is in those spiritual areas that we should be about with our lives. And then we will either follow as He leads, or we will not. But a spiritual person will always follow. you remember the words of our text just a moment ago? Which things, verse 13, also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. He leads through His words. I was a teacher for a long time. Before I went into administration, I went in the classroom every day and stood before kids. I talked a lot. My former students would say, way yonder too much. But you see, inherent in this thing of teaching is this thing of saying. You can't teach unless you have words to explain the concepts that you want them to understand. So the Holy Spirit teaches, specifically, He says in verse 13, and He uses not words that come from human reasoning and wisdom, but it's His own words that He uses in teaching us how life is to be lived. Are you a spiritual person? If you reject the leadership of the Holy Spirit, you are not a spiritual person. You may be, as Paul said to the Corinthian church, you're still carnal. You're looking at everything through a worldly perspective. And because you're looking through that perspective, you're not seeing what it is that God would have you to see. Who is a spiritual person? Peter said over in his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, he said to the church, he said, you guys, he said, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. A spiritual person, excuse me, is one of these stones that goes into the building of God's spiritual house. So that all of those that stand independent of the Lord's church, which is His house, 1 Timothy 3:15, you remember that passage? If I tarry long, Paul said, I've written these things so that if I tarry long, you'll know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So that the person that stands independent of the church and says, you know, I can be a spiritual person without that Sunday nonsense that goes on. Well, as he defines spirituality, I'm confident that's true. But as the Bible defines it, as God defines it, that spirituality rests first of all on a respect for His Word. And His Word is what tells us, Ephesians 3:21, that all glory is given to God in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 3, that verse 1 we read, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. He had to be really careful in his teaching because so much of it they just didn't have any handle on it. He said, you're yet carnal. Aren't you yet carnal? For whereas there is among you, he lists three things. Envying, strife, and divisions. He asks, are you not carnal and walk as men? Well, his answer to that would be yes. Yes, you are. So spiritually minded people, spiritual people, build up the body and not tear it down. They're stones used in the building up of the spiritual body of Christ so that the envying and the strife and the division, not characteristic of spirituality. Who is a spiritual person? Well, a spiritual person is involved in what we're involved with this morning and what Jesus instructed in John chapter 4 to the woman at the well, at Jacob's well. A spiritual person offers spiritual worship to God. God is a spirit, verse 24, John 4, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, Jesus said to the woman. So a spiritual person is conscious of what we do when we come together. That is not just Church of Christ routine when we're here together as the body of Christ. You've got a handle on what this assembly is about. It's not just seeing and being seen. This meal that we observe is, as Jesus said, it's meat indeed. And it is drink indeed.
indeed as we discern the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our singing, speaking to yourselves, Ephesians 5:19, in psalms and hymns, and he said, in spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Yeah, there were words on the screen, and there were shape notes on the screen, and four-part harmony up there, for those of you who understand anything about that. And but there's more. We're speaking to one another in spiritual songs with a spiritual message intended to accomplish spiritual things as we have assembled to worship in spirit and in truth. We pray not just as a matter of custom, although we have customs in prayer, but we're really trying to communicate with God and to be open to His communication to us in return. Worship. Spiritual people offer spiritual worship unto God. 1 Peter 2 and 5, we read just a moment ago about lively stones building up a house to God. To offer spiritual service. That's what we're here trying to do. You ever been to church and went home and thought to yourself, boy, I didn't get much out of that one? Yes, you have. You've been to this church, you sat in a pew like that one, if not these, and you've listened to this guy up here somewhere over the last 40 years and thought, Larry wasn't on his, he wasn't on it today, was he? Yeah. But spiritually minded people, while we understand all of our inadequacies in this business of worship, the imperfections in our singing, the imperfections in our preaching and our teaching, we still acknowledge that this is the business of God in our lives. That as Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together, guess where you will find me? Right in the midst, he said. Right there with that two or that three, however many that might be. Right there with them. Spiritual people are involved in spiritual worship. Coming to a place like this, not for what you get out of it. Although we all get good things out of it, you know. Or at least can. But what we can give when we come. You see, this is part of what we give back to God. And as we give back to God in worship, we get from that worship what God intends for us to get when we give Him what He commands us to give. We enter this place with our heart in our hand, with a determined sense of inadequacy. Who are we to come into the presence of God? And yet, deeply aware that we are here because He has called us together in this place. And we do the things that we do because we understand these are the things that He has spoken to us about in His Word. Spirituality. Who is a spiritual person? What does that spirituality look like? Paul said this in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit, you've read this list before. Here's what it looks like. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So to the extent that those kinds of things are lived out in my life, not just in this assembly when I'm around you, but every day of my life, to that extent I become a spiritual person with spiritual understanding. Well, as we close, let me just say this, because the question is often asked, well, there you've given these various characteristics with criteria for determining spirituality. You haven't said anything about how we feel. I don't know how you feel any more than you know how I feel. Those are issues of the heart, are they not? But how can any of us feel as spiritual people when we consider what God has done for us through Jesus Christ our Lord? The blessings that He continues to provide on a daily basis for us, despite the reality of our failings, how can any of us feel other than having this overwhelming sense of gratitude and humility? Do we feel? Oh, you bet. Spiritual people feel. But I remind you of this. The gauge of spirituality is not just how you feel. No. It's not. I had a lady ask me this last week in an interview that she was doing with me as a preacher. She said, can a person be spiritual? Can a Christian be spiritual and be depressed? I told her, well, sure. Sure you can. Because spirituality, while it contains feelings, isn't based upon feeling. I mean, we all feel bad sometimes. Some of us feel bad an awful lot of the time. And we get down low, you know, mentally and spiritually low and discouraged. Brethren, John said in 1 John, if our hearts condemn us, God knoweth all things. He's greater than our hearts. The answer that I gave to that person was the quoting of that verse. And I asked them, what do you think? We are to be spiritual people before God, basing that spirituality upon what God shows of us of Himself within His Word. Being born again of water and of the Spirit, offering up to God spiritual worship with spiritual songs, living a life that reflects the leadership of the Spirit. Well, the message is yours this morning. If you're here and not a Christian, we're going to sing this song as a song of opportunity for you to come and to be born again. I mean, this is the opportunity that's before you this morning. In repentance of sin and confession of your faith, we'll baptize you today into Christ. If you need our prayers, if there's some way we can assist with a spiritual need, we stand ready to do so. We'll sing the first and last stanza. You come while we stand and sing.